Let's pray. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Father, we do want to see you this morning. Lord, we stand here as weak and earthen vessels, but we know that the Spirit of the living God dwells within us. And we come here first and foremostly to thank you, to worship you, to bow before you, Lord, in humble adoration. And we do pray that each and every one of us here this morning would know your presence, Lord, would know your presence with us, that your wings of love surrounding us, Lord. And I do ask that you would open the eyes of our hearts this morning as we study your word, and that you would speak to every one of us individually, Lord, that you would speak something into our hearts through your word, Lord, and that through the words of man, that the truth of God may permeate in all our hearts. And we ask this, Lord, for your glory, Lord, and for the ever expansion of your kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Eddie. We did hear your reading this morning. Thank you from Matthew 11, 20 to 30. And the title for this morning's message is The Responsibility from Revelation. The Responsibility from or of Revelation. And the title really sums up what is the importance of our reaction to the person and to the words of Jesus Christ, and that wonderful invitation to follow him. That invitation to follow him, firstly as non-believers, and then as well as we go through our Christian walk and Christian maturity. And I'm going to look at this firstly in the historical context of our reading this morning, and then go on to suggest some applications afterwards. I'm sure that at some point in all our lives we've heard that, felt that weight of responsibility, haven't we? Responsibility, it's the fact of having to deal with something that has to be acted upon. At school, we've got the responsibility of studying and understanding the work that's been given to us as best we can. And at work, we've got the responsibility of carrying out those things which are covered under our job descriptions. And our wonderful emergency services, well, they've got the responsibility of responding to those situations which have been revealed to them by the switchboard operators. So just three short examples to highlight the fact that if those situations are not acted upon, then things aren't going to go well for anyone involved. And so then when we take and apply this to our title this morning, Responsibility, through what is it that has to be acted upon? Well, the responsibility is the revelation. We've got many of these in life, haven't we? Revelation is simply something that has been previously unknown to us, but that has been disclosed, that has been made known to us. But in today's message, this word is so important because it is what has been disclosed to us by God, what has been revealed by God to humans. And sometimes that message comes like thunder, and sometimes it comes as a whisper. And we often refer to Jesus as the lion and the lamb. Lions can be ferociously powerful, and lambs innocently gentle. And through Jesus' words in our reading this morning, we see both the wrath and the judgment of God, as well as the gentleness of grace and mercy. And our opening verse, verse 20, it sets the scene for us and leaves us with no doubt at all as to why Jesus is judging these cities. It's because they refused. They refused to turn from their sin and turn to God. Refused to turn from sin. Bob's not here this morning. He's catching a boat somewhere, I believe. But he spoke about this word sin in Doreen's funeral last week. And he used the letters from within it. Firstly, S is for selfishness. Myself. Secondly, I is for me, in the center of all. And thirdly, N. N is for saying no to God, to deny God. So sin, self-centered denial of God. And we learn from the reading this morning that Jesus did many of his works in these regions. The cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida and Capernaum all lie near or around the shores of Lake Galilee, which is where Jesus did so much of his ministry work. Bethsaida was where the blind man was healed, and the feeding of the 5,000 would have been around its plains. Capernaum was Jesus' adopted hometown, and this is where the paralytic was healed. And we also know that some of Jesus' disciples came from around these regions. And we just finished an evening study in the book of Hosea, where God suggests that the people of Israel are just like their wicked and their unjust pagan neighbors. And this message would have been highly offensive to arrogant and to proud hearts. But here in our reading, Jesus goes even a step further. He says that if the Gentile cities of Tyre and Sidon had seen, had witnessed Jesus' works, that they would have turned to God and repented, would have changed course from their wicked ways. Tyre and Sidon are mentioned in the Old and the New Testaments, and Jesus is making a comparison with Chorazin and Bethsaida. These towns had been blessed with Jesus' presence, with his preaching, and with his power, and yet they had not repented. And what a comparison with Capernaum. Jesus says that if Sodom, the very city that we read about in the first book of the Bible, which was completely destroyed by God because of its wickedness, that if Sodom had heard Jesus' teaching and witnessed his authority through mighty works, then they too would have repented. But these three cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, they did not recognize their God in their midst. They should have been part in being representatives of God's kingdom on earth, but they refused to believe. They refused to listen, whereas other pagan cities would have quickly turned to God. It's unbelievable in one way, isn't it? And yet totally understandable. Imagine if we'd have heard about a man who raised somebody from the dead in Pwllheli, and then we witnessed him feeding thousands on the green in Cricieth. How could they not believe? And yet that is the nature of belief. It takes more than witnessing mighty wonders. It takes submission. It takes a submissive heart. Jesus pronounces judgment on these three cities, and it's interesting that actually today they lie ruined and uninhabited. But we know that Jesus' judgment is not just directly speaking about the cities, about the bricks and the mortar. It's about the people. It's about the souls. Here Jesus Christ is exercising his almighty power, and these truly are fearsome words from the Lion of Judah. But let's remember again that God never judges without warnings, and more importantly, without those invitations to turn and to come back to him. We see it all the way through the Old Testament, over and over again, where God is calling his wayward and calling his idolatrous people back to him. And we see many examples also of those who responded positively to the revelation that God had given them. Abel died for his response to God. He worshipped and brought righteous offerings, which set a blaze of hatred in his brother's heart. And this ended up with Cain killing him in a frenzy of jealousy. God revealed his plans for Noah to build a huge ark. And we get a glimpse of some comedy artistic license in the film Evan Almighty, as the Noah type Evan does all he can to run and try to evade God's plan for him and for his family. But he does give way. Actually, he hasn't got much choice really, if you've seen the film. And the ark is built. And just as all around are still mocking him, that invitation still goes out to come into the ark. And so it was with Noah. He set himself the responsibility of the work that God had called him to. Moses, when God gave him the revelation of who he was, Moses argued he didn't want this. He didn't want the responsibility of leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. But more importantly, he got up and obeyed God. And as much as we can't imagine the burden of that responsibility, he led the people for 40 years. our families. They're our first and most important responsibilities, but Abram had a duty and responsibility also to his kin. Yet God called him and told him to up and go from his homeland and travel far away to settle in a foreign land. And he did it. He responded, not knowing where this road would lead, but he went. King David, far from being anyway perfect, was a man after God's own heart. God's will was revealed to him through the prophet Samuel, and over many years David ruled over Israel, often as a warrior king, and who didn't get his own heart's desire to build a house of worship for God, because he was often too busy subduing the nations surrounding Israel. And then, of course, there's the prophets, the men of old who, in one sense, had the greatest of responsibility to speak for God to mankind. How often must they have wrestled with what God was calling them to say, not understanding everything, yet faithfully doing so, in spite of what the reactions might have been. Just a few examples of many who responded positively to God's revelation to them. And so we jump forward now, 2,000, 4,000, maybe some 6,000 years ahead from some of these examples. And the question is, what about us? How does this relate to me here in Crickyth Family Church, to us in 2021? Well, probably not surprisingly, the answer is that nothing much has changed, and the principle is exactly the same. We all have a responsibility to decide how to respond to what God has revealed to us. Firstly, for people who have heard, people who are questioning, people who are seeking, do we accept, believe, and respond to that message? And also, we have a responsibility as Christians, which we'll touch on in a minute. In the year running up to the time when I made that conscious decision to believe and to follow Jesus, someone said a few things to me which challenged me gently, and I realized that I was at a crossroads in my life and that I had to choose which way to turn. I'd seen the love of God work out in people's life. I'd been in the company of lovely Christians, lovely people who I knew were followers of Jesus. I'd started to read a little bit of the Bible. I'd heard people praying, and more importantly, I was feeling this call. I was feeling this pull from God to come and know me better. And one night, driving to work on the same road that I travelled many, many times, I began to notice all the road signs. Roads that I'd never taken. But my heart told me, Ray, if you were looking to go here or to go there, you would happily follow those signs. You'd trust without flinching that they would take you to your destination. Signs that people, signs that men have put there. Are you going to put your trust in God now? The signs are there. The way is there. The road is there. The truth is there. The life is there. Are you going to commit and follow? And I did. Because, of course, it's not only the strong words from the line of Judah that we're reading today, but also the invitation to all that comes from the heart of the Lamb of God. Loving, gentle words, as we've read this morning, giving praise, giving adoration to the Father in heaven, his Father in heaven, thanking him for all who have turned to him, and acknowledging that God's revelation to man has nothing to do with status, with power, with wealth, with race, with intellect, but that all those who have believed in him come and do so as children. Let's continue to come to him as children and be blessed in that assurance, that blessed assurance. The Lamb of God reaches out his hands and he calls out to all humanity in verses 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Maybe you are here today, perhaps you are here as someone who has felt that same nudge, that same pull, that same call from God, who is inviting you to turn from your old ways and put your trust in him. You may ask why. Why should I? Let me suggest one way why you should, and I say this as a man, as a husband, and as a father who knows that this is the most important message that I ever heard and the most important message that I ever responded to. A message that affects not only me and my family and Christians as all of our families, but God only knows the ripple effect of how that may manifest in the lives of people around us. And that message is that whether we know it, whether we understand it, Mark's touched on it this morning, whether we believe it or not, all humanity is separated from God by what we call sin, which I mentioned earlier. It's a gulf. It's a chasm. It can't be crossed by any person in themselves, but God, in his amazing love, has made a way. His love, not the love that sometimes we make it, not even the God that sometimes we make in our image, but God has demonstrated his love through the person of Jesus Christ. That he would give this man to die on a cross and that spiritual weight of sin on his shoulders, bearing all humanity's, every soul's sin on his shoulder. And the wonderful good news that no matter what creed, no color, not race, what status, what wealth, what power you are, that whoever believes in him will not spend an eternity lost in eternal darkness, but will spend an eternity with God and his people in the kingdom of heaven, and however that transpires and manifests. It's a wonderful truth. It's a wonderful truth. Hallelujah. And this is the revelation from God to man. And it's a message so simple at its core that the wise in their own sight often mock and scoff. And yet it's a message with such depth and with such detail that no human will come close to ever understanding this side of eternity. And that was the message that all of us here, our Christians today, responded to. And we too have that revelation. I remember one of our preachers challenging us a few years ago to consider, are we becoming more like Jesus in our walk with God and man? And he pressed in and reminded the more mature believers that actually they should be reflecting in even greater degrees the grace of God in their lives. So I want to begin to close today by suggesting perhaps one reason why maybe we are struggling to be that person, to be those people that we are called to be. The Bible calls us ambassadors for God. Some months ago I was gently challenged by a wise and mature brother in Christ who during our conversation put this question to me. Are you expectant, Ray? Are you expectant? These few words really hit me, and they spoke to my heart, and although I haven't understood fully the depth of the power in them, I've kept them close in my thoughts and my pondering since. Because we may know God's word, we may understand and believe all things biblical, but are we expectant? Are we expectant that the power and the truth and the life of God may manifest beyond the weaknesses of man? We are ambassadors of Christ. An ambassador is not the king. They are not the government. They are not the head. But they work and they operate in a foreign and sometimes hostile land. And their influence on behalf of their government can be highly fruitful. Let's consider this as we remember that we are representatives of the God of heaven and earth, followers and friends of the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God, whose Holy Spirit raised Jesus Christ from the dead, lives within us. Are you expectant this week, as you go out, as you start this week, that God will give you such a heart and a love for your friends and for those who you may naturally dislike, that your words will be transformed to reflect his love for them? Are you expectant that whether you are employed or whether you are retired, that whatever you turn your hand to doing, that God will show you favor and grace with man as you go with substance and demonstrate good and hard-working faithfulness? Are you expectant that as we greet someone on the door with the love of Christ, that this may affect them in such a way that we could never imagine? Are our children's and youth ministries expectant that God will draw people to him as they are attracted to the living Jesus manifested through your love and acceptance of them? Are our preachers expectant that the very fire of God may fall on those who hear? And our prayers as a church such that we believe that the spirit of revival in our hearts and in our building may fall even today, even now? Are we expectant? Please consider this in regards to every situation and every ministry which I haven't mentioned this morning. Owen Edwards encouraged us this year to pray big prayers. Let's do this with more than knowing and believing that he answers according to his will. Let's do this expecting that he answers according to his will. And let's close this morning by remembering Jesus, the one who bore the greatest responsibility from Revelation, the revelation from God that he was the Saviour of the world, the Lion of Judah and God's own Lamb, who would pay the ultimate price for us all. The words "thank you, Lord" seem so small when we consider this, but let's always be thankful, have thankful hearts, as we remember him who, trembling in fear in a garden on that final night, prayed, "Father, if possible, take this cup from me. Take this responsibility from me." And yet he bore it and said, "Your will be done." May God's will be done in all your lives. May God's will be done in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.